Good morning. I invite you to open a Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 2. If you can find Ephesians in your Bible, you will be where we will be in our text throughout the morning. I'll have other passages projected on the screen behind me, but we're going to be back and forth in the wonderful letter of Paul to the church that was in Ephesus 2,000 years ago. A church with which we have so much in common. Though we are separated by time and space and geography, we have the greatest things in common with these people who received this letter 2,000 years ago. And I'd encourage you to keep that in your mind as we go throughout our study of God's Word. It is so good to see you. It's mornings like this when I get here early and I'm walking around the building that I wonder, who's going to get out in this mess this morning? But as I look across this big room and see so many of you, you are an encouragement to me. Thank you for being here. Thank you for singing together. Thank you for those of us who are joining us via live stream. I hope that our time in God's Word is a blessing to you. Rise and Build is our theme for 2021. And so on Sunday mornings, since the beginning of January, we have been focused and adding layer upon layer to this theme. Is your Bible open there to Ephesians 2? Would you begin reading with me in verse 19? Ephesians 2, verse 19. And let's use it as a means of reminding ourselves where we have been as a church family. That verse begins, "So then you," and let's just pause there for a moment and remember that Roger has recently talked with us about he's working on you. God is working on me. He is working on us. A people, not an it, not a thing, not a place, but a people is being built. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Let's just pause for a moment and remember that 2 weeks ago on this Lord's Day, Roger talked with us about who is being built. A people is being built up. By whom? By God. God is the one who is doing the building. He is building a people. That is what we see right here in the text. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens. You're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And so I hope that you see how deliberate we have been. In week two of this new year, we went back and we glorified the cornerstone. And we studied the cornerstone. And we devoted ourselves as individuals and as families and as a church family to build on this cornerstone in 2021, and as long as the Lord gives us time and breath, our attention is drawn to this cornerstone as the central figure. You keep reading with me in verse 21, in whom the whole structure, and these next three words are where I'd like to camp with you for the rest of our time this morning. Christ is the cornerstone in whom the whole structure being joined together. Let's not just read over that today. Let's not treat that as if we are reading it in a vacuum apart from real life right here in this part of the world in 2021. We'll be in Ephesians 4 in just a moment if you want to turn your Bibles over there. But I want to begin by thinking with you about what amazingly good news this is. In a world, right here, right now, real life, in a world at a time where so many are being pulled apart. You feel that, don't you? In 2021, in these United States of America, as a citizen of this globe, in accordance with the plan of God, you are where you are right here in late February 2021 for a reason. But we live in a difficult world, and you know that just as surely as I know it. In a world at a time when so many are being pulled apart, could we figure out this morning maybe what the root causes of that are? I'd suggest to you one is unfiltered anger. Is your Bible open there to Ephesians 4 and verse 26? Despite the warning of the Holy Spirit to be angry and not to sin, not to let the sun go down on your anger. That's been there for 2,000 years. But we live in a world at a time, in a place where the world around us, people around us, are being pulled apart and the devil is being given all sorts of opportunities. It's right there in Ephesians 4, verse 27. Could I suggest to you that one of the byproducts of unfiltered anger, if we just continue to lean on the Holy Spirit, is corrupting talk. Despite the warning of Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Why? Because corrupting talk does the exact opposite of building up. And that's what we're in the business of doing as Christians. Do you see that? In Ephesians 4, verse 29, what comes out of our mouths is to only be what is good for building up, as fits the occasion. Now, you remember in week 3 of this year, we talked about the work of holy demolition. It's not that everything that ever comes out of my mouth is only positive, only butterflies and rainbows. No, even Jesus, especially Jesus, leads the charge in the ongoing work of holy demolition. But listen to me this morning. There is a difference between me using my mouth, as Jesus is teaching me to use my mouth and my typing fingers and my texting thumbs in a way that is holy, and a way that is, according to my Heavenly Father, corrupting. Talk that just tears down. Talk that just puts down. Talk that does not give grace. Does not stir gracious affections in the hearts of those who hear. And so no shocker. In verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Why? Because that's the sort of stuff that pulls people apart. That's the sort of stuff that flows from a heart of selfishness. The sort of selfish ambition and conceit that we're warned about as Christians in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, where I live as if no one matters more than me. No one's thoughts matter more than my thoughts. Nobody's opinions matter more than my opinions. I am looking out for my interests and my interests above everyone else. Listen to me. You get 7 billion plus people on this planet who live with that sort of mindset, and it is no surprise that those people are constantly being pulled apart because they continue in their selfishness to listen, number four, to the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 reminds us that that age, 2,000 years ago, all the way up to our age, has scribes and debaters, and in our age, podcasters and YouTubers and talk show hosts and cable news commenters, and on and on and on it goes, that fly in the face of the wisdom of God. In their minds, in the language of verse 18, the word of the cross is folly. We go to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. They are natural people, and so they do not accept the things of the Spirit of God. The things of the Spirit of God are a folly to them. They don't understand them. And we see the fruits, right, of unfiltered anger and corrupting talk and selfishness and just looking to the world to continue to reaffirm me. And I stay in that cycle despite the cost because my mind is set right here on the things of this earth. Precisely what the Spirit warned us against in Colossians 3 and verse 2. I have my mind set on the things of this world, and with a mind set on the things of this world, I just continue looking in love, misplaced love, to this world. Now listen to me, we live on a beautiful planet. I love this planet, and I hope that you do too. I love the creation around us. I love nature. We're not talking about God's amazing planet. We're talking about the mindset of this world, the fruit that is born in this world from hearts of human selfishness. And it has been a pitfall for disciples of Jesus for millennia. The reason a co-worker in the gospel named Demas 2,000 years ago walked away, abandoned the Apostle Paul is, he was in love with this present world. And so finally he was willing to compromise. We were created for relationship with God. We were created to walk with God. We were created to listen to God, to follow God. And so God, in perfectly reasonable terms, uses the ugliest word of unfaithfulness to describe someone created in His image whose mind is set right here, who doesn't think about God, who doesn't honor Him as God, who lives as if no one is bigger than me. And He says, don't you know that friendship with the world will always be at odds with God? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. There are other things that we could add to that list, but I would suggest to you that's a pretty good start. Why is it that we live in a world, in a community, in a state, in a nation, in a culture where we feel this pulling apart perhaps more keenly than we have at any other point in our lives? God has given us the diagnosis. And when I walk in accordance with that diagnosis, guess what happens? I act like a child. And not in the most flattering of senses. I act like a spoiled, rotten child. When this is the path I choose to walk, is your Bible still open there to Ephesians 4? It's right there in verse 14. That we would no longer be children. Why is this not a good diagnosis? Because I follow this path, and guess what happens? I just get tossed all over the place. A year like 2020 descends, and I get tossed all over the place, Loss comes knocking at my door, and I get tossed to and fro. The heavy blanket of grief descends and covers my life, and I can't tell which way is up, which way is down, which way I ought to go. I'm being tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. If we live like that, we will not be able to rise up. If we live like that, we will not be successful in the building. Now, that's a lot of bad news. The rest is good. I promise. At a time when so many are being pulled apart, listen to me this morning. God is willing, God is able to join us together. How in the world does he do that? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, where we began in verse 21, where we referenced Christ, the cornerstone. Verse 21, in whom the whole structure being joined together. Well, how does God do the joining? Through the process of building. I want you to think about that this morning. God is willing and able to join us together through the process of building. We are not joined together when 20% of a group of people do the building and 80% of the people watch. We are not joined together when 20% of the people are listening to the vision that has been cast and they hear the voices of the leaders who are trying to lead in accordance with God's word, trying to lead through the ups and downs of life, and 80% are lagging behind with corrupting talk amongst themselves. God joins us together in the process of building. That's why Roger's study of Nehemiah has been so valuable. And if you've missed any of those, maybe you've missed them all. Every single one of them is available on our website. And you go and you see how a broken down, beaten, discouraged, lost people go from wandering around aimlessly among a big rubble heap to building together. Sometimes with a sword in one hand and a tool in another. But in 52 days, they rebuild walls and they hang gates. And God joins them together. How? Through the process of building. Well, building what? Let's allow the Holy Spirit to cast the vision. People, in Him you also are being built up. We're not talking about this building. We're not talking about these pews. We're not talking about this carpet. We're not talking about this drywall. We're not talking about that parking lot. We're talking about people. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God. We belong to God. We are a part of God's household. Well, how does this happen? The answer is by the Spirit. What? What's that mean? How? I mean, all of this sounds good, right? Until we get there and I can't see the Spirit, I can't touch the Spirit, I can't taste the Spirit, I can't smell the Spirit. How in the world am I as an individual and I with my family and we as a church family, how in the world are we being joined together through the process of building into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit? How's that work? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to Ephesians 4, where we'll be for the rest of our time together this morning. The mortar that joins us together is the unity of the Spirit. Draw a line from Ephesians 2:22. We are being built by the Spirit to Ephesians 4. The first few verses. The mortar that joins us together is the unity of the Spirit. Paul uses the word therefore in Ephesians 4. He is building on what he has just revealed to us earlier in this letter. And he says in verse 1 of Ephesians 4, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge. This is not a suggestion. This is not helpful advice. This is a Spirit-guided apostle urging. Urging who? Urging you, urging me, urging the people of God to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is the mortar that joins us together, the unity of the Spirit. And before we move right on, I want you to notice how this is literally the polar opposite of what is pulling so many apart in the world around us. I mean, you see that, don't you? Unfiltered anger, corrupting talk, selfishness, the wisdom of the world, mindset on the things of earth, misplaced love for the world, compromise. Let's read it again, the polar opposite. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner of the calling. Someone else has done the calling through the gospel. It's not about me anymore. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Well, can you let me know what that looks like, practically speaking? Sure. Humility. Gentleness. Not unfiltered anger, not corrupting talk. Gentleness. Patience. Not a mindset on the things of this world, not misplaced love for this world, not living as if everything revolves around me and nobody matters more than me. No, bearing with one another. God has done the joining. Which means at times when my opinions and the way I would have made that judgment call and my timetable is very different from what's going on around me, and I've got a choice. Am I going to remain joined together even though I would have made a different judgment call? I would have done that a long time ago. I would have gone in the opposite direction on this matter of opinion, but I'm not going to be pulled apart. I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to let my reasonableness be known to everyone because my Lord is at hand. I'm going to treat you as more significant than myself. I'm going to look out for your interests ahead of mine. That is love. That is what it looks like. When a body of believers is able to go through a life-shaping, once-in-a-lifetime storm and remain together. How did they do that? They were eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The mortar that holds them together. Let's look at it in Ephesians 4, verse 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body. Unity of purpose. The very opposite of what is pulling our world apart, our nation apart, our community apart, maybe your family, many church families all around us. And I want you to listen to me when I say we're not immune to that. Maybe it's pulling you as an individual self apart. And it's time to get back to the basic building blocks. There's one body, and that body has unity of purpose. We are building. We are being built. We are individually members of this body. We are being built into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit, whom we do not want to grieve. Christ is our head. This is our purpose. Revealed to us by the one Spirit. There is unity of calling, unity of walk. We have been called by the gospel, called to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. We have been called, Galatians 5 and verse 16, to walk by the Spirit. Why? Because when I walk by the Spirit, I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You remember those? This is how I stay away from those things. This is how I come to be at peace. Well, I can't walk for anybody else. I can't follow for anybody else. I can't hold Jesus as Lord for anyone else. But I have been the inheritor of this calling to walk by the Spirit, not to gratify the desires of my flesh, to keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 25. Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Why? So that we might not become, there it is again, conceited, provoking one another. How desperately we need to understand that there are multi-billion businesses in this world that make their living, make a fortune by provoking you to provoke other people. And there is so much good that can be done. But not if I treat these tools like the rest of the world treats these tools. As one giant megaphone where everybody can hear my unfiltered anger, my corrupting talk. And the more people with minds set on things of the earth that like and share and comment and retweet what I say, the more I feel good about myself. And guess who's in the driver's seat? It is not the Lord. Not keeping in step with the Spirit. But this is how one body, unity of purpose, one Spirit, unity of calling and walk, one hope, unity of aims. Our minds are set on things above. Our citizenship is in heaven. From it we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has bid us to lift up our eyes and see that the fields around us are white for harvest, who has told us in so many different ways to go. Go and shine as lights in this world. Go and function as the salt of the earth. And as you go, be ready to tell people about why you are different. It's because you have a different Lord, the one Lord. And this is how diverse people from across the last 2,000 years have been joined together, because there is unity of authority. We belong to Christ. Read your New Testament. The message is Jew and Gentile can equally belong to Christ. circumcised and uncircumcised can equally belong to Christ. Slave and free can equally belong to Christ. Male and female equally joined to Christ. On and on and on it goes. This is His church. He is the way, the truth, the life. There is salvation in no thing, no one else. We are His saints. We are inheritors of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. It's the next word. One faith. Unity of standard. How desperately we need to develop these eyes to see that as the people of God in southern Indiana and northern Kentucky in 2021, we are not united beneath the American flag. We are talking about saints for the last 2,000 years, the vast majority of whom were one in Christ long before the United States of America was a thought in anybody's mind. It's bigger. And if all that anybody ever hears is about how I feel about the flag and not the banner of the cross, I need to think seriously about where my mind is set. We are united, not by a particular political party, not by one form of government, not by the color of our skin, not by the language that we speak, not by Roger's ideas or my theories or the consensus of the congregation or the policy of some man-made denomination or a confederacy of churches, certainly not by twisted, fallen human culture around us. No, we have the standard. You hold it in your hands this morning. This is the basis of our unity. We become a part of His body by the one baptism. There is unity of rebirth. It is not that, well, we're a group of people and you decide, you tell us how you were joined to Christ, how you made a commitment to Jesus, what you felt in your heart or how you came to a realization that you're right with God. No, we go back and we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, people asking days after the resurrection of Christ, what shall we do? And over and over and over again, read the book of Acts. It is repent. Turn away from this junk that pulls people apart and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the basis of unity. When anyone does that, they are born again. Added by the Lord to His church. And we understand that as the book of Acts unfolds, they looked for other believers. They looked to become a body of believers. But the Lord has defined what it means to be joined to Christ and why it matters. And we submit to all of that because of the one God. That if I've been born again, I'm a son or a daughter of God. I am an heir, a fellow heir with Christ. And this world is full of all sorts of hardships and calamities and griefs and uncertainties and dark valleys. But Paul is able to say in Romans chapter 8, I am sure, not death, not life, not angels, not rulers, not things present, not things to come, not powers, not height, not depth, not anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is stability in a world that is being pulled apart. A world where you will see this week, if the Lord allows this world to stand, people, full-grown adults, acting like selfish, spoiled, rotten children. Be the light. Be the salt. Model stability. Show the better way. And do it in a way that points to the one who has made it available. The head of the whole body. Ephesians 4:16. The body that is joined and held together. When? And we're not talking about mortar here. We're talking about people. We're talking about me. We're talking about you. Our mindsets, our attitudes. When every joint is being equipped, and when each part is working properly, as defined by the builder, unbelieving Jews can try and discredit it. A Roman governor can give consent for people to be crucified. A Caesar can bring the most amazing world empire that has ever been seen against it. Pandemics can come and pandemics can go. Earthquakes, sorrow, fear, uncertainty, death can come, but the body keeps growing. And it continues to build itself up in love. That is how God joins us together. And so I've got a simple question for you this morning. Are you on solid ground? Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Do you know that come what may, whatever happens this week, you're secure. You know where you're going. You're heaven bound. And you're trying to bring as many people along with you as possible. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you woke up this morning keenly aware of these forces all around us that are just constantly seeking to tear us apart. And you're looking for solid rock. Here it is. He's standing at the door. He's knocking. If you're ready to answer the call to turn away from sin and be baptized in His name for the forgiveness of your sins, water is available, clothes are available. We can do that right here and right now. You can leave as a son or a daughter of God. Maybe you did that a while back. But you know that you're not standing on solid rock. He hasn't given up on you. He's standing. He's knocking. His body is ready to pray with you and for you this morning. If we can be of any help, any encouragement, would you let us know how by coming to the front while we stand and sing together?